This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann, and I am joined today by the very special and important, because she says so, Dr. Mawira Karatai.
Oh, kia ora, Professor Samuel Mann. It's lovely to see you today.
Why are we particularly special and important today?
Oh, because today I'm being a television star. Oh, the difficulties of my life. It's the difficulties of having a son like Jack. And he is the subject of a little television interview today, and they wanted to talk to me as well about how he's ended up, how he has, and how I've raised him. So that's quite funny to me, Sam, because I don't know how I raised him. I tried to be as hands-off as possible and let him raise himself.
He's just done it, but with lots of support.
Yeah, he has. He's I've got this new... People ask me all the time about how Jack ended up being Jack, and I just say because I've raised him like playing a game of 10-pin bowling, and you know how you can lift up the rails to stop the ball from falling in the gutter, keeps the ball in play, gives him the best chance of getting a strike. That's how I've raised my son. I've been the gutter rails.
Not that you put him up at the end and knocked him over.
I pretty much have. No, that's I definitely didn't. He's knocked himself over enough. He didn't need me to do it.
And who are we introducing today?
Today is my great pleasure to introduce two of the heroes of the future, third year nursing students at Otago Polytech, Maria McKean and Arana McLaughlin. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for making a commitment to making the world better for other people.
Oh, thank you so much for having us today.
Same for me.
Welcome. Let's start by talking about nursing, and then you can talk about why you're here.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Why nursing?
Oh, that's a big question, isn't it? We get asked it every year. It's just like, why did you decide to be a nurse? But I just think it comes from, well, I've always really cared about people, and I really enjoy being with people. So I think it's just a very caring profession, and I get to be doing things that I love every single day with people that I can make connections with, and I just adore that.
Was that something you always wanted?
It came to me quite early on. I think I was early high school when I said, this is where I want to go with my life. So I was really lucky in terms of having directionality, and I didn't have to flounder, which I think is very good for the type of person that I am. So yes, I had a goal in mind from quite young.
As for myself, why nursing? Well, I've tried a few other careers before I ended up here, and I think what got me into it really, and what has been my guiding sort of philosophy ever since I left high school, was that I wanted a career where I'd help people. And originally, straight out of high school, I thought about, and then did, join the Air Force as an aircraft technician to serve my country. And when I found that didn't really sort of tickle that itch, I got out, sort of got myself back together for a couple of years, and eventually stumbled upon nursing. And, well, it's a very intimate way of helping people, and I felt that really sort of appealed to me.
And you've nearly finished your degrees.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What does next year look like, do you know?
Hopefully a job.
Essentially that, yeah.
You're both from rural areas, from Alexandra and Makarora?
Yep.
Yep.
Is the plan to go back to those sorts of places?
For me personally, not at the moment. I think I've become too accustomed to living in the big city at the moment, you know?
Bright lights of Dunedin.
Yeah. Yes, bright that they are. Yeah, I think I'm in the same mindset as Arana at the moment. I think when I'm young, stick with the bustling city life and sort of when I have the energy to do it, be part of the Big Apple, so to speak. But I do think I see myself going back to rural because I'm really passionate about it and it's close to my heart.
And you've been doing a community project.
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me all about the community project.
Well,
you couldn't pick a place further away to do the community project.
No, we could not.
Yeah, funnily enough. So our community project is covering the Welsh village of Treorthe Bay. It's a very small village in Holly Island, which is an island itself off of Anglesey, which is an island itself off of the northern coast of Wales. And sort of the basis that we were going off of for the beginning of our project was sort of examining a local swimming group there and sort of examining what health benefits that they were sort of contributing to the community. And that was our starting point at any rate.
Yes, it was. But unfortunately, quite early on in our project, we were unable to sort of make the connections with the group. So we couldn't really find the information that we needed in order to continue on in that direction. So there was a lot of secondary research that went on for Treorthe Bay, which was very interesting having to reference Facebook as a place of information. Not quite used to that. But yeah, we stumbled on some really amazing information and we've gone in a direction we may have never thought we'd end up in. But I think we're all so proud to be where we are now.
Let's take a step back and think about community.
Mm.
What's the relationship between community and nursing?
Well, I think it goes down to the fact that a community can influence health so much, you know, what services there are, how people interact, how people care about each other. So it's a really interconnected sort of organism that's very symbiotic and one thing relates to another so deeply and it's so intertwined that you can't look at health without actually looking at the wider picture. So you need to start big and I think sort of work your way down to the smaller issues for the community.
Has that been a basis of all of your nursing education or has that come in through this community project?
It's sort of been the basis for our whole education so far. But it's really sort of been nailed down by this community project because after having a very, I suppose what you'd call macro level education on the systems that go into healthcare and what you're working with as the framework you're working in as a nurse, then going to this project where we're looking, taking a snapshot of a very small community and examining its health needs based on sort of the wider needs of the community around it, it clarified that quite a lot in my eyes, at least.
Let's take the first of your songs. Let's have Maria. What have you got? Jelly Roll.
Yep, Jelly Roll, Dead End Road.
Why this one?
Well, it's kind of a out-of-the-box one for me. It's a country song, sort of a country rock, which isn't my usual go-to genre. But I recently watched a movie where it was in the soundtrack and I was having an absolute bop in the movie theater and it's been stuck in my head ever since.
Well, that's getting more stuck.
Mm-hmm. I'm just another thinking over using tall drinks, a short fuse and getting in my own way. I'm just a bloodstained, bolted hands throwing back milligrams, I can't find the brakes. I'm hiding from the sun, devil riding shotgun, God knows I'ma crash and burn. Cause that highway to hell is the road I'm on. I need to
Skills that we can develop as researchers is the ability to be able to call time on a track and move on to the next way that we're going to do the research. Tell us about that process for you. What was the process that you went through as you changed from this to that?
I think the biggest transition for us was when we sort of reoriented our focus from the swimming group into what ended up being sort of skin cancer and sun safe behavior health promotion, because it did feel very out of the box and it was not where we initially started. But we sort of sat down as a group and we said, realistically, can we actually put together the level of information and research that we'd be proud to show and that we would be willing to pass on to the community with what we have at the moment? And we all sort of came to a consensus that it wasn't in a place that we wanted it to be, and we did want to be proud and we wanted to make the positive change. So in order to be able to do that, we really followed the information that we found. And so it was just reorienting in terms of where we thought we could best contribute positively to the community. So we listened to what we thought the community could need and we tried to sort of fill those areas.
When you think about that process of looking at what the community, what will benefit the community most, how do you do that from Dunedin, New Zealand, with a community that's on an island, on an island, on an island in Wales?
I suppose the first thing we did is we looked into the biggest health issues in Wales itself, because from there, it'd give us a rough idea of the community we're working with. We could move more into specifics as we went down. And eventually, we found that the highest rate of skin cancer, or the highest,
the highest diagnosed cancer within Wales is actually skin cancer, with a 2.5% more incidence rate than prostate cancer. And we were really surprised by that.
Yeah. Because it was specifically UV-related skin cancer, not melanoma-related skin cancer. Mm. And digging into that line of research, it sort of came up that there isn't really much education around sun safety in Wales compared to New Zealand. Like slip, slop, slap, and wrap is not a thing over there. And because of that, there seemed to be a very strong correlation between this high incident rate of UV-related skin cancers and this massive lack of education.
Mm. And because Trialba Bay is a really popular holiday destination because of its beach, you know, most people are coming in the summer months. They're spending time, you know, hours out in the sun on the beach. And we just thought we could pop in there and see if we could do some work.
How did you consult with the local community?
That was a bit of a complicated process for us.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because we started off with one stakeholder, and unfortunately we were unable to make communication with her. So for the first 2 weeks of our project, we didn't actually have direct contact with anyone locally, which was also a point of quite a bit of stress for us because we did want to be involved with the community and not just come in and hand them stuff without ever having sort of consulted them and collaborated. So in the end, it turned into a collaboration campaign on local Facebook pages to see what the locals thought of where we were going. And we got really amazing feedback and we got beautiful stories about personal, you know, incidents with skin cancer and how they thought this is, you know, a wonderful project and surprised that we'd come to this conclusion. So yeah, it came in late, but it was invaluable.
And how will you then share that data that you've gained of all the stories? How will you package this to share back into that community?
Specifically, at the moment, what we've got is we came up with two products, and that is a poster, an educational poster regarding sort of sun safety. It's something that you find pretty typically like around here in New Zealand, but over there is just, again, not a thing. So it's got information regarding sort of like the damage that sun can do to your skin and other sort of helpful information like that. And our second product over there that we've sort of proposed is a sunscreen station. And that is essentially a station along a beach where it has some like a pole in the ground with a sunscreen holder and a sort of sticker dispenser. And these stickers are UV stickers where if you apply them to your skin and then rub sunscreen on them, they turn transparent because they're UV sensitive. And once the sunscreen effectiveness runs out and UV rays start getting exposed to them, they turn purple as a little reminder to say, oh, your sunscreen stopped being effective.
Yep,
that's cool.
Yeah, and it indicates people when to reapply, which makes you, you know, get out of your head and have a reminder.
How do you stop the sunscreen from getting really hot? Like at the station?
That is a very good question. And I'm not entirely sure if we went so far down that road, but we did look at sunscreen dispensers that have been used in Australia. And they are for public consumption and being out in really high temperatures. So I think it would be a matter of collaborating with these brands that know how to make sure that the sunscreen isn't being damaged by the UV and the heat exposure.
That's so cool. I did not know that was a thing. What a great idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really proud of our team for coming up with that one.
Yeah, and the council is late in the piece. The council's quite excited about what you're doing.
Yes, and Anglesey County Council, we got a direct message on Facebook from one of their councillors who was really interested in the project. And yeah, in our sunscreen dispenser ideas and seemed very passionate about bringing it to the Anglesey Isle County Council.
Yes, so have you like written a proposal or something to them?
We've written a submission sort of explaining the sunscreen dispensers and our plans and the information that we've gathered to back it up and how we would propose that it could be implemented as suggestions.
Yeah. And did they think it was a bit weird, a group of nurses from New Zealand being interested in and involved?
It was never mentioned explicitly, but I'd assume that it would be quite weird, just these New Zealand nurses popping in on very local issues and being like, hi guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're here to solve your problems.
No, we're here to work in partnership.
Yes. Exactly.
But Mary, you had a student group last year?
Yes, I did. I had a student group last year and we were looking at general health in our community, particularly around issues like diabetes. And so we created a whole lot of resources that were focused on getting people out in their gardens, growing good kai, living well and being healthy. And I loved it. We had such a great time.
That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a really positive experience for me as the stakeholder in the community that the student engaged with, but also a great opportunity for the students to look at how do we take all of this knowledge that we have gained on nutrition and well-being and bring that into a local community.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's take the second of your songs. I don't know what it is.
Sorry, I should have sent it through. But my song is Iron Maiden's The Trooper.
Great song.
Mm-hmm. I like it quite a lot because it's like something gets you really pumped up, really motivated. And yeah, it's just kind of my sound, you know.
Thank you. listening to Blowing Bubbles. We are talking with Maria McKean and Irana McLaughlin, who are working on a community development project, community health project in Wales from Dunedin. Mm-hmm. Did you have to learn some Welsh?
There was attempts to learn Welsh. I don't know how well it went. I got caught on the double L sound. Mm-hmm. I'm still stuck there.
It's like a C.
Yeah, and the double D is a TH. Mm-hmm. That was really fun in our initial presentation when everyone said Triava Bay a slightly different way. Mm-hmm. And we were standing there being like, oh gosh.
Yeah, there were 9 different pronunciations that mm-hmm. day of yep. Triava Bay. It was quite something.
We like variety.
I'm sure the people of Triava Bay would appreciate it.
Yes.
I think they appreciate the fact you tried.
Very much so, yes. It's just, it mattered to us to, you know, see what their culture is, because we've never really interacted with Wales and Welsh as a culture. Mm-hmm. So being sensitive and receptive to what they need was really important for us. And that also translated to our posters, which we will be doing in Welsh and English so that we can cater to our audience appropriately.
Yeah.
What did you learn?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very big question.
Bit of a question indeed. Honestly, I think from this project, something big that I learned was the impact that a team of like 9 students across the world can have, theoretically, on any community that they set their sights on, essentially. Yeah, like we went from sort of, we were told about, like 3 weeks ago, we were told about this place in Wales that we knew nothing about. And we were told, okay, research them and find out what they need health-wise. And then we did. And it was like, it's quite eye-opening and I suppose gives like practical insight into what advocating for health means as a nurse.
You know?
Yeah. And I suppose building on that, just the impact that interest and being passionate about a project or a topic can be, because we kind of started this project with, this is our community placement, and, you know, we're not really sure how it's going to go, a little bit trepidatious about the whole event, but the more we learned about it, the more we actually realized, you know, we're going to make a change and it's going to be something that we can be really proud of. And we get to work with these amazing people that we never thought we'd be in contact with. So just seeing people across the world and communicating and connecting and trying to create positive changes is just such a rewarding experience to be part of. And just so incredibly proud to have had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a placement, isn't it? It counts as one of your placements.
Sure does.
Most of your other placements are actual placements. You go to a place and you
yes.
work there.
Very
this
practical.
Is very different.
Yes, extremely.
Very.
So how did you like come into it? Did you like know what to expect or?
Well, we're technically the final group that has done it this year. So there's been 2 other sort of catchments that have done the community project. So we've sort of had filtered knowledge of what to expect, and it's been a mixed bag at times, which, you know, left us a bit leery about whether or not this was going to be a positive experience. But I think we went into it being like, let's make the best out of it, let's do something, mm-hmm. and let's just crack on. And that really worked for our group.
Yeah, essentially that. Like, because once we'd gotten our topic, we decided, well, let's get on with it, because we had no expectations from that point on, because being given a place called Triava Bay in the first week was like, oh, well, I suppose, fresh slate. We have no idea where that is. We have no idea what it's about. So mm-hmm. let's find out. And that sort of energy very much like drove along our group as time went on and sort of shaped everything that we did.
How do you think it would have been different if you were there, if it was a place you could sensibly get to?
I think there might have been more chance for community engagement earlier in, And that actually really could have changed the trajectory of our project, because we might have actually been face to face with the initial swimming group and we would have had a completely different end and health promotion. So I think if we had been there, we would be providing a very, very different project after 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of the project, in most assignments and things that you do, somebody pretty much knows the answer before they give it to you. In this one, it's pretty much a, off you go and find a problem and then solve it.
Yes.
We're not really training people to do that. How did you cope with that?
There were definite growing pains along the way.
There were certainly growing pains along the way. It was quite, having been unleashed into this project, it was a bit, there was certainly a lot of time where we had to find our feet time and again regarding what we were actually doing. Because, yeah, you're right, they don't train you to do this sort of thing. And you can't, I mean, theoretically you could be trained for it, but I don't think, like, we were at all. Like, we were given some rough tools to sort of help navigate it, but otherwise it's very freeform and the onus was very much on us.
Mm-hmm. And I actually think that was a really positive thing, because that meant that rather than having a really structured project where we were just told every step of the way what we were going to do and how we were going to conduct it, it gave us a lot of fluidity and a lot of creative license on how we wanted to do the project and sort of show us as a group and how, you know, we as people wanted to go about this, which I think was really positive. And yeah, it was just great experience.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any messages for next year's groups?
I would say going into the community project to go in with a completely open mind. You know, you might hear things from your peers and it might be good, it might be bad, but just let the opportunity be what it's going to be, because if you try and make the most out of the experience, you're most likely going to have a wonderful time and you're going to produce something that you're incredibly proud of.
That's a good message.
Mm-hmm. If I had to tell the next year group something, I'd say don't be afraid of the scary option.
Yes, that's very good.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, when you're
talking
getting...
talking about Jean, aren't you?
No, we love Jean.
No, we love Jean.
Jean, we love you.
Yes, please, understand we do. But no, I think, like, the scary option for your topic that you've been assigned to, like, don't be afraid of it. It's going to be interesting. You can do a lot with it, even if you can't see it in the moment. Like, the scary option for maybe contacting people that you weren't expecting to in order to get some community engagement. The scary option of maybe choosing a research topic that you weren't expecting to in your first week, but it's become evident to you now that you sort of need to. It's, don't be afraid to put your foot forward and just get a little bit messy and try something and see what works. Because, like, this is the place to do it. Yeah, this is like the placement to do that.
What do you think you've learned for the rest of your study? Not very much of your study left. But what can you take from it for the few months you have left?
I think the biggest takeaway for me is the importance of seeing the bigger picture. Because when we're on placements, you know, we get given our patient load and you're looking at the individual. And it can sort of narrow your vision to this is my person and this is what's going on. But there's so much more going on outside of it. And I think this has brought a new appreciation for the bigger factors and put those into practice for me in a very practical way.
Yeah, I'd have to say the same, to be honest. Like, this project has given me sort of a much wider perspective on, like, the aspects of healthcare and sort of the aspects that go into a person's health at any one moment. And because of that, I have a much greater awareness of, like, sort of the factors that are affecting somebody's health in the moment. And sort of because of that, well, I'll just be more aware of it, I guess. Because until now, I haven't really had a practical experience with it.
We've been asking questions all along, but we have some questions to end the show. What is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years? It can be anything you like.
Okay.
Goodness. last couple of years, passing first year, it was rough for a minute there for me because, because I'm an adult learner. I had a pretty rough go at high school and then got out of academia for like several years. Coming back into it, I was pretty rusty. I felt rough doing it, but I trucked through, got there, and it was, pretty much we got there.
I think the biggest success for me has been finding the people who I'm pretty sure are going to be my people for the rest of my life. I've made the best connections. I've got a friend who's basically been adopted by my family, and it's just been such an amazing 3 years. It really has.
What's your superpower?
Theoretical or literal?
Anything you like. If you say flying.
A little bit less believable, eh?
I quite like to be able to breathe underwater and sort of survive the immense pressures of the ocean sea.
Okay, so when I mean superpower, I mean if I was to bottle the essence of you and say what it is that you bring to the party.
Okay. I apologize.
No, I let people go with those ones. They don't have to bring it back.
Yep, gotcha.
I like it though. I think my superpower lies in my being able to listen to people. I love hearing about people's lives and just the connection that I have in building those deeper sort of emotional ties.
I'd honestly have to say something along the lines of that as well. Like, I'm like very capable of listening to just about anyone and sort of take on anybody and listen to just any story and actually learn from it and be able to sort of empathize with anyone.
Is that inherent in the, what did you talk about, the ethos of care, that fundamental to nursing, you have to be able to listen to people?
I suppose it is.
And I suppose it's sort of like, it says a lot about the people who try to become nurses.
Mm. Yes, beautifully said.
So what motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
That today is a new day filled with possibilities and I can make it whatever I want to be.
Cool.
I just want to see what today brings instead of yesterday.
Kind of great.
Mm-hmm. I hear it's going to rain.
So if you could wave a magic wand and have a miracle occur, let's go for tomorrow morning, what would you have happen?
Okay.
Miracle, you say?
I'm going to follow it up.
Okay. How much of a miracle are we talking about?
It can be anything you like.
Anything. Okay. Oh, this is a very wide scope. I think that the miracle I would want to be would be that everybody have the care that they need when they need it and how they need it.
So my follow-up question is, what's the smallest thing we could do that would make the biggest impact in that direction?
Well, I actually think this ties quite nicely into the community development project, because you look at a group of people and you see the gaps and where, you know, things could be improved or changes could be made. So it's just about looking and seeing what could be done in order to make those improvements. So I guess it's just taking the look rather than ignoring it and just trying to conform and carry on.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Reach out for a miracle yet?
Yeah, actually. I'd sort of, my miracle would be like that the institutions that we place so highly in sort of were able to more effectively actually help people sometimes, you know? Like they were more aware of how to sort of help people and how to provide for people. Which I guess is essentially just the same thing as you said, but like said slightly differently.
You can steal my miracle. That's okay.
Shared miracle. Yeah. And what could we do to achieve that? Even a little bit.
As nurses, the thing that we can do there is like sort of just be aware of the injustices around you and sort of don't turn a blind eye to them. Like, be aware of them and then be aware of the process of actually how to confront them instead of just letting them happen. Like, educate your patients on how to complain and then sort of be willing to advocate on their behalf.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
I think the only advice I could give is don't be afraid to be curious. You know, question things. Look into things that you're interested in because you never know where it's going to go.
Yeah, like pretty much what Maria said again, but in that case...
I should have made you go first.
Yeah. Drink water. You'll appreciate it. Your body will live for you for it.
That's really good. Yep.
Drink water, guys.
Yeah. Hydration is key.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You drinking water, Moira?
Always drinking water. And being surrounded by it in the weather that we've got today. So
yeah. Speaking of, looks like it's going to be for us.
Yeah, guys, I have real misgivings about health and the general direction that the country is going in at the moment. In particular, the way that it doesn't support our health professionals the way that it should. But I feel this real sense of hopefulness when I think about you guys and the work that you're doing, your commitment to it, and the kind of education that you're getting. And I just want to say thank you for making a commitment, and even with the difficult space that you occupy at the moment, looking for a job and wondering what the future of health looks like, you're still committed to it. And I think that speaks volumes about you as human beings and about your generation of workforce that is just saying, oh, well, we'll go and do it anyway, and taking all of these amazing skills and great attitudes and everything with you. So I go back to what I said in the first place, the heroes of tomorrow, and that's how I really see you. You are the heroes. You are the people who are going to make life better for others, I just admire you so much for doing that. And I wish you all the best for the journey ahead, and may you find joy in your professional practice space. And don't stop learning. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Thank you very much for joining me. What song are we going out to? I can't read my writing. Somebody David.
Damiano David?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
The first time.
Yep.
Met the shore. My eyes were closed. touch, a song that made me cry. The drugs I've done, they never got me higher than the first time we met. There's nothing like the first time we met.
Their safe spaces around the world, brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, who are brought to you by Otago Polytechnic. We broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. We were joined today by nursing students Maria McKinney and Arama McLaughlin. With Maria Karatai, I'm Samuel Mann, and that was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.